Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
My four-year-old wanted to know during the commercial break if she had a mobile device and wanted to know, could she watch the spinach guy? That would be Popeye. Introduced her to Popeye yesterday. I don't know if that's good or bad. But Austin Meek of The Athletic, formerly the columnist at the Eugene Register Guard, is joining us. What are your kids into right now?
Well, I got to say, John, I'm not doing great with the screen time. During the pandemic, since the school closed, I hate to admit this, but they love that iPad. It's like, get them started on that thing. They can look at it for hours. It's a little scary. It's kind of like me and my phone. Like, I feel like I can't really say anything about it because I look at how much I stare at my phone. It's like, well, I guess that makes sense.
That's a good point, because we sit here and we go, look, you guys, you got to get off your devices. And then, you know, I look at my screen time every week and I'm like, damn. I'm spending hours on there. And then the schools are putting those devices in their hands. They're not really helping us.
Yeah, and no, I know. I mean, you do what you got to do in this unusual time. And it's good that, you know, our son is 5 and he's been able to, like, stay connected with his teacher through the iPad. So that's good. But, yeah, I got to get my phone to stop sending me those screen time updates.
Yes.
Because I get that every Sunday night and I'm like, oh, God. Every week it gets a little worse.
Just shame you once a week. Austin Meek of The Athletic with us. You cover Michigan specifically, but I want to talk Big Ten. Oregon's got Ohio State on the schedule. How good is Ohio State right now? What's the chatter in the Big Ten about this matchup?
I tell you what, Ohio State is really, really good. That's the program that all the other Big Ten schools are chasing, the program that Michigan is chasing. And right now the gap between Ohio State and Michigan is pretty big. Ohio State's recruiting at a level that nobody else, certainly nobody else in the Big Ten, and maybe nobody else in the country is recruiting at. So, you know, they lost quite a bit from last year. I mean, you lose 2 of the top 3 picks, and Chase Young and Jeff Okuda, the cornerback. J.K. Dobbins, the running back, was really good. So, you know, they've got some pieces to replace, but they've got a lot of talent in the pipeline, and they've got a quarterback who's probably one of the top 2 contenders for the Heisman. And this is a year when you really want to have a good quarterback coming back, and Ohio State has one of the best in the country.
Ohio State at Autzen Stadium. Now, you know those two entities. You've seen enough of both of them. How does that thing fit to you in your mind?
Well, I love the matchup. I mean, part of why I'm so hoping that everything comes together to play football in that first weekend is you've got Michigan playing at Washington, which is a great venue for college football, and you've got Ohio State playing at Oregon, which is a great venue for college football. I love those intersectional matchups. I love the home-and-home matchups. A couple years ago, I wouldn't have given Oregon a great shot to beat Ohio State, but you know, Mario Cristobal's got that thing going now at Oregon, and if they can get the quarterback thing figured out, I think that they could be competitive with Ohio State. I'd say Ohio State is, you know, at a higher level overall as a program. But playing at home, I certainly would give Oregon a shot to compete in that game.
Right now, you're looking at Michigan. You mentioned that Michigan has just not had the success. They're chasing Ohio State. How big of a problem is that for Jim Harbaugh's program?
Well, it's the one thing I think that kind of stands out that, you know, has held back Jim Harbaugh, frankly, is the 0-5 record against Ohio State. You know, that hurts. Done a lot of good things, you know, at Michigan since Jim Harbaugh got here. Has won a lot of games. Has, you know, for the most part, won the games he was supposed to win. It's just that game at the end of the year against Ohio State that continues to be a problem. And, you know, it's kind of unfair in a way that, you know, Jim Harbaugh got here at a time when his biggest rival was getting ready to, you know, ascend to a level that, frankly, Michigan has never been at and Ohio State had never been at before. I mean, Urban Meyer really took Ohio State to a level even beyond what they had been in the past. And then that thing was up and running when Ryan Day took over. So, you know, it just so happened that Jim Harbaugh got here at a time that Ohio State was getting ready to go on a big hot streak. And it's, you know, it's been a problem. And right now it doesn't look like the gap is getting any smaller. It's only getting bigger.
Austin Meek is our guest of The Athletic, covers Michigan. The college football season, there's a lot of discussion about, first it was, is it going to happen? Then it's going to happen. Is it going to happen on time? Then it's who's going to be in the stadium. Where is that conversation right now for Michigan fans?
You know, Michigan is a little bit of an outlier, I would say, among the schools in this region. A lot of schools are back now. Ohio State was bringing players back on Monday. I think most of the schools in the Big Ten either have brought players back or have announced a plan to bring players back. And Michigan hasn't done that yet. The university president, Mark Schlissel, did an interview with the Wall Street Journal a couple weeks ago and kind of poured a little bit of cold water on some of the enthusiasm about college football definitely being back in the fall. He basically said, you know, we can't guarantee that's going to happen. And that definitely raised some eyebrows, I think, around here, because that was, you haven't heard a lot of university presidents and athletic directors use that degree of caution. There's been a lot of optimism. So, you know, my sense of it is that if schools in the Big Ten are playing college football, Michigan's going to play. You know, if you look at the coronavirus numbers in Michigan, we had a big outbreak initially. It's gone down pretty steadily. So I still think it's going to happen. But Michigan definitely has not been pressured to join this wave of schools that are opening. I think they really want to do it on their own timeline.
If there are no students on campus, are there football games in Ann Arbor?
Well, that was the president's statement. If there's no students on campus, there's no football. Now, you know, I think you can kind of massage that a little bit to say what constitutes having students on campus. You know, is it 10% of students? Is it 20%? I mean, I think that you certainly could make the case that in some way, shape, or form, there's going to be some on-campus instruction, even if it's, you know, a small percentage of it. And I think that you could justify playing college football if you've got some students on campus. But, you know, I think in some ways it's prudent that Michigan has not just jumped in to get things started. I mean, we've seen some schools do that, frankly, that have just been like, okay, it's time. Let's get these guys back on campus. And we don't know yet how that's going to work out. But at least there were some signs early on that, you know, it's not just as simple as open the doors and get guys back in. If you start finding cases as players come back, then that's something you have to be prepared to deal with.
Austin Meek with us of The Athletic. What's the summer going to look like, you know, for Ann Arbor, your kids? I'm curious because there's a real division, I think, in Oregon where I see some people that are being super conservative and others that think, hey, this whole thing was overblown. What's sort of the temperature there?
Yeah, it's certainly in the last couple weeks. I think I've seen a lot more people out and about. You know, we've taken the kids out to the park or out to the lake, and you know, you see quite a few people out there. I think we're going to see quite a bit of outdoor recreation here over the summer. It seems like people feel pretty comfortable with that, especially if it's in an area that's big enough that you can have some distance between other people. You know, certainly there's a lot of stuff that usually happens here in the summer that's not going to happen. I mean, it. You know, we're pretty close to Detroit. People are used to having baseball in the summer. Don't know how that's going to come back or when or what it's going to look like. But you know, certainly there's a big void here, as there is everywhere, with a lot of, you know, events and stuff that would be happening right now. But you do see people getting out now. I would say over just the last 2 or 3 weeks, been a pretty big change in terms of people's comfort level with being out and about.
There's a real sentiment here that it's happening. Oregon's going to play those games. Oregon State's going to play those games. And, you know, maybe that'll change here in the coming weeks as we're starting to get some data on the return to life. But if Michigan digs its heels in and says, look, we're just not playing if students are not on campus. Does that mean there is no football, or is there's no football on campus at Michigan? Or is there any amount of pressure that would what happens to Michigan if college football goes on without it?
Yeah, those are great questions. There will be tremendous pressure on Michigan to play if some schools are playing. I think one of the things that you sort of pick up on sort of in the background here is that, you know, Michigan takes a lot of pride in itself as an institution. You know, there's kind of a thought of Michigan as almost like an Ivy League type school, even though it's not. But Michigan kind of likes to associate with that caliber of, you know, academic institution. And I think there are people who feel like sometimes that happens to the detriment of Michigan's ability to compete at the highest level in football. You know, I think there are some Michigan fans who, frankly, are a little bit jealous of Ohio State, that Ohio State's not really ashamed to say that they really, really care about football above a lot of other things. And Michigan is not quite in that same boat. You know, they care about football, but on the academic side, at least on the university side, you know, maybe there's a reputation that they are not quite as willing to go all out to compete in football. So, you know, there would be a lot of pressure on Michigan if the administration wanted to say, yeah, we know these other schools are playing, but we don't think it's a good idea and we're not going to play. Boy, that would create a lot of backlash, frankly, from a lot of those Michigan alums who are all over the country, because it's a huge alumni network, and you know, a bunch of, you know, former players and fans all over the world who care a lot about Michigan football.
Austin Meek with us of The Athletic. When Mario Cristobal was hired, I said, hey, he's going to make the playoff within 5 years. There's just something about how he's built, the messaging. I think he's got a little edge to him that, you know, I could see him elevating Oregon's brand and certainly their expectations. What's that look like from Big Ten country as you look over at Oregon now? You've been there. Now you got some space.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Pac-12 is wide open now for a program like Oregon to really, you know, ascend to a level where they're in that playoff conversation every year. It's hard to make the playoff coming out of the Big Ten if you're not Ohio State, because you know you got to go through Ohio State every year. There's no Ohio State right now in the Pac-12. So, you know, in this time, while Washington is going through a transition, the USC with Clay Helton is kind of a perpetual soap opera. Chip Kelly hasn't gotten it going yet at UCLA. You know, there's really not a team that's standing in your way if you're Mario Cristobal and you're looking at that path to get in the playoff. Now, you know, for the Pac-12 to get a team in the playoff, somebody else has got to get left out, and that's been the issue for the Pac-12, as you well know, is that, you know, their best has not been as good as the best teams from the other conferences. So, you know, some things would have to come together for Oregon to be that team that gets in the playoff. But if I'm betting on one Pac-12 team, it has a chance to do it in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. My money is definitely on Oregon.
The influence of Phil Knight. You were close to it when you were the columnist at the Register Guard, Austin, and you saw it. And, you know, I arrived here and saw people making fun of Oregon, Uncle Phil, all that. And then ultimately I look around and I go, look, what a benefit, what an advantage that is. How much does the Phil Knight relationship with Oregon matter for Oregon's future, in that the investment has been made, you know, relationship with Nike probably will remain? How do you view that now that you are away from it?
Well, look, schools all over the country are looking at their budgets right now and saying, how in the world are we going to make this work? If we have to play a football season with our stadiums at less than full capacity, or God forbid we don't play football, how's that going to work? I don't think there's an athletic director in the country who would be able to come up with, you know, an easy fix for the budget if there's a big chunk of football revenue that suddenly is taken away. And I'm sure, you know, from Rob Mullen's perspective, he's not just putting his feet up on the desk and saying, well, whatever happens, we've got Phil Knight, we'll be fine. But it's sure nice to have. It's nice to know that if you end up in a bind, you've got that number. You can call Phil and say, hey, Phil, here's what we need to be able to keep this thing at the level that we want to be at. And know that he'll pick up the phone. Not every school has that luxury. In fact, most schools don't. I mean, Michigan has a very big booster network. Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, has his name on a bunch of things around here. So they've got some people with deep pockets, too, that they can call. But a lot of schools would envy being in Oregon's position, especially now with some of these financial things that are coming at them, to be able to have a guy like Phil Knight that you could call.
Is that something, I mean, I look at it and I thought, when I got here, like, why do people make fun of that? And I look over at Oklahoma State with T. Boone Pickens, and there's some other universities across the country that just have boosters. And if you got the ability to make one phone call and raise $1 million, that's a blessing. That's not something, and I feel like Rob Mullins has done a better job sort of embracing that.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be some jealousy, I think, from schools that don't have that. That's where I heard it the most was, it's easy to, if you're competing against Oregon, it's easy to say, well, the only reason they're good is because they have Phil Knight. And, I think you and I both know that there's a lot more that goes into it than that. Certainly Phil Knight has been a huge asset to Oregon's program. They wouldn't be where they are without Phil Knight. But you still got to win the games. You still got to coach the games. You still got to have the players. Phil Knight's a big piece of it, but he's not the only piece of it. I think there's some schools that probably you maybe use that as a crutch. Say, well, we don't have Phil Knight. How can we compete with that? But at the end of the day, if you have a guy like Phil Knight, you love it. If you don't, maybe you're a little bit jealous of it, but I tell you what, Oregon's not going to give him up. There's nobody they'd rather have in their corner.
If I could snap my fingers and have automatic delivery of some restaurant from Eugene, Oregon, all the way to you in Michigan, what restaurant are we calling?
Tell you what, John, if you could send me some yum sauce, I would love that. Can't get that stuff out here. In fact, we tried to figure out could we get some of it on the plane and just didn't have the space to make it happen. But if we next time we get back to Eugene, I think we're probably going to pick up a case of that stuff and bring it back.
All right. We'll send it out right away. Austin Meek of The Athletic. Hey, take care of those kids and stay safe yourself, and I will see you down the road. I appreciate you making time for us, Austin.
All right. You too, man. It's great to catch up.
All right. There's Austin Meek. You know him from the Eugene Register Guard and maybe this radio show back in the day. He's now with The Athletic covering Michigan football. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch what happens still, conference from conference, university to university, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Illinois, Oregon State, Oregon, UCLA, USC. Like what if the governor in California or the leadership on campus at USC just isn't comfortable with USC hosting home football games? This is a puzzle. And I keep saying that we're going to have false starts. We're going to have speed bumps. We're going to have hiccups. We're going to have wrong turns and dead ends. And I mean it. Leave it here. Great stuff from Austin Meek of The Athletic. He's a dad. I'm a dad. We're talking about kids and their mobile devices. 4-year-old is literally about 8 feet away from me right now. She's got my phone. Don't bother texting me. She is watching Looney Tunes on my phone. I'm a bad dad because of that. Father's Day, by the way, coming up on June 21st. Put it on your calendar. Dads out there, appreciate my dad. I appreciate all the dads out there who are great dads. If you're thinking about a Father's Day gift, I don't know. What's a good Father's Day gift? That'll be the subject of our Culligan Water Cooler Report.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
I made the mistake one time of buying a t-shirt that was advertised on Instagram. And now, whenever I go on Instagram, t-shirts pop up. My Instagram knows me, or it thinks it does. The latest is a t-shirt that says, "You don't scare me, I have three daughters." How does it know I have three daughters? Alabama Adriana, we're going to give some people Father's Day gift ideas. Do you have a Father's Day gift idea? Maybe something simple. You know, not everybody out there can buy a flat screen TV for dad, or nor does dad probably want a flat screen TV, but something simple, something that thoughtful. What are you thinking?
I am getting my dad a Guitar Center gift card, and my sister and I are getting him an engraved capo, which is like the thing that you use on a guitar to change the Judah.
to change the key that you want to play it in.
Yeah. I couldn't think of the word.
Sorry. That's your guitar equipment. That's awesome. I like that. Dad's into guitars.
Yeah, he's into everything music related.
I think it's good. Like, some gift giving at its essence is simply, how well do you know somebody? When you give someone a gift, you're going, I know you, and here's the evidence that I know you. Whether that person is your significant other, or your coworker, or your kids, when you give a gift, you're essentially just indicating to them, I've been paying attention. So Alabama Adriana has been paying attention. Judah Newby, Father's Day, June 21st coming up. What are you thinking? Like, give us a standout Father's Day gift idea.
My dad sounds a lot like Adriana's dad. Gift card to a Guitar Center. He's a guitar player, so that would fit just fine. He also really likes to cook and barbecue, so spices or rubs or barbecue equipment's always good,
like
too.
That. I like that. Spices, rubs, hot sauces. There's a lot of hot sauce things, too.
Oh,
people
yeah.
do that.
That's a winner.
I always think events are good, too. Like, if the college football's being played or whatever, and you have a chance to get dad some tickets to a game, that's a good event, too. This has been the college...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.